During America's War for Independence, the preachers of the day, especially those of New England, helped proclaim liberty, so much so that some British sympathizers derisively called these patriotic pastors, quote-unquote, the Black-Robed Regiment, because these ministers wore black robes in the pulpit. Today, there are some ministers of the gospel who try to carry on the same kind of work to bring much-needed renewal and revival to America. Reverend Bill Cook, who pastors in Virginia, is involved in what he calls America's Black Robe Regiment. They have 150 pastors commissioned in Virginia, plus 10 chapters across the nation, with a goal to be in all 50 states one day, Lord willing, by 2024. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome the Reverend Bill Cook. Bill, it's nice to meet you on the air here. Tell us about your Black Robe Regiment group.
Well, Jerry, it's tremendous to meet you as well. I've heard a lot about you over the years, and told the story pretty well of what the history of the Black Robe Regiment, where it originated. I was just telling someone who was talking to me and saying I had founded the Black Robe Regiment, but I didn't. It was really the British that founded the Black Robe Regiment, because they coined the term Black Regiment. It was a derisive reference to the black robes that the clergy of the founding era wore. And it was probably an accurate designation because, in fact, I know it was an accurate designation because the clergy had essentially preached the political worldview that's embodied in the founding charters for many years before the American Revolution began. And I insist on saying that the clergy were the founding fathers, because they laid the ideological foundations for the greatest, for the freest, most prosperous, most prolific missionary sending nation in human history, being America. So they really were the founding fathers. The men who came along after them, who actually presided in the legislatures, were great men, but they weren't the founders. The men who created the ideology that America is based upon were in the pulpit of America. What we're trying to do is we're trying to renew the history of that, just an understanding of that history, and we're calling clergy to assert their influence within civil government, beginning at the local level, where it, not just clergy, but they and their churches to assert their influence within civil government, because it's essential, because otherwise what we do is when the church says, you know, or when pastors say separation of church and state, what they're essentially saying is we're going to surrender the government and the civil society to the children of disobedience. And if we have a biblical worldview, we know that the children of disobedience are good at one thing, and that's breaking things and destroying them, because their behavior and their actions are governed by the prince of the power of the air. So it's imperative that the church be involved in civil government at every level.
Okay, let's just step back a little bit and have you just tell about your own journey and how you came across these things. And by the way, I will say this, I'm sure you're familiar with a book by Alice Baldwin, which within the last year, I read it very carefully, word for word, and it's just fantastic, and it verifies so much of what you were saying. But tell me about your own particular journey. I'm sure you didn't always feel this way, especially because, we're constantly being battered down as if we're supposedly Christian nationalists, if we think the church should be salt and light in society.
Well, I would say this began for me probably around 12 years ago, and I was experiencing a bit of a renewal in my own life, and God was teaching me some things in Scripture about tyranny, about liberty and tyranny, I grew up loving America, I grew up loving life in this nation, but at the same time, my wife and I had been having children, we were up to 5 kids, and I don't know about you, but I think one of the most potent influences in terms of the future is concern for the future is having children. And so I was really concerned about the nature of the country that my children would grow up in. But at the same time, I was also thinking America could not have, this nation could not have just happened by chance. It couldn't have just been an accident, or the couldn't have just been the pure wisdom of the men that formed the Congress and founded the nation, the men we call the founding fathers. There had to be something divine in the founding of America. And as I heard David Barton one night on the Glenn Beck program talking about this thing called the Black Robe Regiment, which I'd never heard of. But as he spoke, it was like somebody turned a light on. And when I understood the seminal role of the clergy in the founding of America, I understood why America was great and why America came to be, and that America came to be because of the intentional action of leaders in the church. And so I just naturally concluded that America recovering from the tyranny we were facing at the time under the Obama administration would come with pastors asserting their influence in government again. So that's how, and so around that time we founded the Black Robe Regiment in Virginia. We met in Patrick Henry College and had a kickoff event. We had about 20 pastors there. General Jerry Boykin gave the keynote. And at the end of his message, when the invitation was given for pastors to commit to the cause, every pastor in the room came forward and some of them ran. And it was a powerfully, really powerful evening.
Wow. When you say some of them ran, you mean they ran for office or they ran out of the building?
They actually ran out of the pews. We were sitting in bleachers and they ran out of the seats to the front. You know, they ran down the bleachers to get to the front.
I see. What is Gideon's 300? What is that part of your whole movement?
Gideon's 300 was a pastor's commissioning we did in Virginia Beach in July last year, where I was preparing, I was going to be speaking at the reawakening tour that was in Virginia Beach. And I knew that we were going to have a pastor summit at the event, for pastors to join the Black Robe Regiment. And so, in planning that and thinking and praying about it, I went to the story of Gideon. And in looking at the crisis in America, the crisis that we're facing right now in our government, tyranny rearing its head throughout our government, I came to the conclusion that it wasn't going to be a majority of the pastors in America that were going to jump on board with this vision, but it was going to be a remnant, and I had to conclude that a remnant was all that God really needed to turn this country around. And so I figured if 300 were good enough for Gideon, 300 would be good enough for us in our efforts to turn this country around. And so that's why we did that. And we still have a pledge that we're asking pastors to sign called Gideon's 300 Pledge. And it's got some pretty strong pledges that the pastors make when they sign that, like preaching election sermons, a minimum of one before every election, holding their flocks accountable to vote as a sacred duty, that not voting is not an option. They have to vote, and they have to vote for probably in every election, no matter how bad the choices are. It's always a choice between the lesser of two evils, because all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So, and other things, you know, they agree to partner with other pastors in their efforts, and many more things. So.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And people can get more information about that at your website, which is abrr.us, as in dealing with the what would that be, the American Black Robe Regiment,
America's Black Robe Regiment, right?
.us. Okay. How about if we have you address, we have about 5-6 minutes left, how about if you address a few key myths? Okay. One would be that if a pastor gets involved in anything like what you're talking about, then they're guilty of quote-unquote Christian nationalism.
Well, maybe they just love America. That's why I do what I do. I don't think I don't even know what Christian nationalism means. And if it means that you love America and you think America is special and superior to other nations, at least in terms of its history and ideology, I would say that I'm a nationalist in that sense. And so I reject the designation. I just love America, and I think it's worth standing up and fighting for, contending for.
All right. How about a comment along these lines? If somebody says to you, well, look, the Bible is not a political book, and it's not supposed to be a political handbook. Your comments.
Well, I think I think it's a profoundly political book. And if you look at, I just heard somebody saying that it's interesting that Jesus was always confronting people that were politically oriented. He was all the time in conflict in his conversations with people that were political in nature. Government is a fact of life. It's up to us to decide which kind of government we're going to have. And so if getting involved in government is political, you know, let me put it this way. Jesus, when he commissioned his disciples to preach the gospel in all the world, the first thing he said was, "All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. That is a statement that is packed with meaning. Because when Jesus made that statement, he had become the last Adam. When he rose from the dead, he had become the last Adam. That means there's not going to be another one. And what he had effectively done when he rose from the dead was he dispossessed the devil who the first Adam surrendered his dominion to. Adam, when he disobeyed God, surrendered his dominion to the evil one, making him the prince of the power of the air. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he dispossessed him. And then he effectively told his disciples, go throughout every square inch of my realm, preach the gospel. And then he said, command them to obey everything I've told you. And so in a manner of speaking, the Great Commission is a command to go throughout every square inch of the earth and implement the government of God. And, you know, and call people to obedience to God. And in my mind, you know, I don't think there's any law or rulership against the government of God. I think that it's a government of pure liberty. And so, I believe it's inherently political.
All right. What about the statement? And this is, you know, such a canard, but here it is. The founding fathers intended America to be a secular nation.
That's just absurd. I don't think they intend that in the least. In fact, you know, when you look in the first Congress, there were six clergymen in our first Congress. If they had meant that to happen, then they would have been telling those men that were clergy to just, you know, ignore everything that they had been doing in the previous years before they became members of Congress. There was a military general in the first Congress, a guy named Peter Muhlenberg, who had fought in the American Revolution and led troops in the Revolution. And his brother, Friedrich, who was also a clergyman from New York, had initially withstood Peter for becoming a general, for becoming a military leader. And Friedrich came around to his brother's way of thinking before the end of the war. And he ran for Congress, and he became a member of the first Congress, and he was elected the first Speaker of the House. So we had two clergymen in the first Congress. Yeah, at least two, more than that. Actually, there were six. And so I think if anybody had proposed separation of church and state as it's construed today, as the prevailing attitude toward it exists today, I think it would have started another revolution, because so many clergy were involved in the American War for Independence. Many of them fought in the war. They led troops in the war. They called the men of their congregations to follow them to war to fight the British. Many of them. Pastor in Hopewell, New Jersey, when he heard what the British had done in Lexington, he jumped up on the big stone in front of his church where the women used to mount their horses. And he basically announced to the community, the British are murdering our brethren of New England. Who follows me to Boston? And with that, he led all the men of his church off to war. So there were many, many pastors involved. They performed heroic deeds in the Revolution.
All right. Hey, we're basically out of time. ABRR.us. How about a 15-second closing thought on the Black Robe Regiment?
I would say we do not get our country back unless clergy stand up and begin to assert themselves within government. They have to adopt more of a martial attitude toward this nation. And toward our government, and toward our liberties.
And when you say martial, you don't mean in any way violent. What you mean is
not in the least, not but active. It's an active disposition toward what is happening.
Exactly.
What is happening needs to be confronted, morally confronted by moral leaders in our nation today.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us. All the best. God bless you now. Bye bye.
Bless you too, Jerry. Thank you.